Our text this morning is taken from the last pages of the Bible. We're looking at Revelation, and we're going to look at Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 17, on page number 1935, in your pew Bibles. And also, we're going to wrap up with a reading from Revelation chapter 22. And as we follow this theme, the last Noel that we sang for you, I want to pick up on this theme as we read from God's Word in the book of the Revelation, the Apocalypse, the revelation to the Apostle John of Jesus Christ. Here's a picture in Revelation chapter 19. Beginning with verse 11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on a white horse and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all of the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of the Lord. Before I read the next passage from chapter 22, let's just think a minute about this idea of the last Noel, the second coming of Christ. Throughout this season, I was personally inspired considering and meditating on the overlay of Christ's first coming, his first advent, and his second coming, his second advent. Advent season really has in mind preparation for both his first coming in Bethlehem, born as a baby, and his second coming. He has come, and he will surely come again, we say. 21st century believers like us stand in the time between the times, the time between the first and the last Noel. Christ's kingdom has been inaugurated already with the coming of this Prince of Peace. The King has come, and yet it's not yet fully consummated. We live in a time already, but not yet. Think about it. We, in this time and space, are tethered to Christ in the past, as well as tethered, connected to Christ's coming and all that is before us. Praise God. So in other words, when we sang as part of a cantata, a song, the last Noel that we just sang for you, it became the inspiration for this morning's communion meditation because it really struck me. I'm going to read the words to that song one more time, so that it gets clearly and freshly in your mind. As we sang, you came crying, Lord, to this world of sin, wrapped in ragged cloth, in desperate need. But the first Noel tells me you're coming again, eyes of fire, robed in crimson on a snow-white steed. Every angel trumpet, every Christmas bell, every Yuletide carol about Emmanuel just reminds me of the story. Time will tell. of the everlasting glory of the last Noel. Every symbol of Christmas, every sign of Christ's coming reminds us of yet another sign that time will tell. All the Advent candles, our lampstands of gold, the Tannenbaum, the tree of life to me, the adoring magi, the elders of old, bowing down to cast their crowns upon the glassy sea. We love to sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. All the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea." By the way, in biblical symbology and the pictures, the figurative language of the Bible, when we talk about the sea, when the people of old, the Hebrew mind, would think of the sea, they would think of chaos, they would think of danger. But before the throne of God, this sea is now smooth as glass. Before God's throne and under His sovereign hand, think about that. The saints are casting down their golden crowns. I see the shepherds quaking as they raise their eyes, like the saints awaking from their graves to rise. And that guiding light that shines from afar, it becomes to me the bright and morning star. Noel, Noel, come again, Lord Jesus, soon and very soon. In my poor heart's inn, I've prepared you room. Grant me one desire to be where voices swell in that heavenly choir at the last Noel, Noel. In that final chapter, where forever we dwell in the everlasting rapture of the last Noel. The glory and majesty of Christ's second coming is in focus today as we look in hope for this day. John MacArthur, in his book, The Christ of Christmas, says, "The next time, things will be different. The first time Jesus came, he came veiled in the form of a child, a baby. The next time Jesus comes, he will be recognized by all. The first time Christ came, a star marked his arrival. The next time Jesus comes, heaven will be lit by heavenly glory. First time Christ came, wise men and shepherds brought him gifts. The next time Christ comes, he will bring gifts, rewards for his own. The first time Jesus came, there was no room for him in the inn. The next time Christ comes, the world won't be able to contain his glory. The first time Jesus came, a few attended his arrival. The next time Jesus comes, every eye shall see him. The first time Jesus came, he came as a baby. The next time he will come as sovereign King and Lord of Lords." So let me continue our reading from Revelation, our text in Revelation chapter 22. Beginning with verse 7, "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the word of this, the prophecy in this book." Skipping down to verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, I will take, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. The everlasting glory of the last Noel. When people think of Revelation, sometimes they think of scary images. But yes, there is some of that in these mysterious figures, the symbols. But overall and through all is the theme of comfort and consolation. In the beginning of my Bible, at least in Revelation, I've written a saying that has been shared by Christian teachers. Revelation means consolation amidst tribulation. Revelation brings consolation amidst tribulation. That's the theme that I want to focus on in Revelation and on this morning's message, the last Noel. In Revelation, above all things, we have revealed the person of this one who is coming again. He has several titles that are given in these passages that I read. His titles reveal who he is as he's coming again. First of all, he is a rider in chapter 19, verse 11, who is called faithful and true, revealing his loyalty, that he is trustworthy and dependable. In contrast to the Antichrist, the false prophet of Revelation, in contrast to all the lies and deceptions of this present age, this dark age of ours, he is faithful, always faithful to his promises, and his word is true. He is also called King of Kings and Lord of Lords, revealing his sovereignty, that he rules and overrules. He is King and Lord of all earthly rulers and powers. His supremacy and sovereignty knows no bounds. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. In chapter 19, verse 6, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and give him glory. That's actually the text for the beloved Hallelujah Chorus, Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. Hallelujah, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, 19 through 9 through 11, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is the King of Kings. In chapter 22, verse 13, as I read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus said, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Christ comes again, eternally exalted as Christ. Eternal, he was and is before all things, beyond all things, above all things. I read this verse at every funeral I do, revealing the hope of immortality in the one who is eternal amidst the ever-present awareness of our human mortality. Christ comes again and offers eternal life to all who believe. And he loved you before all things were created, before you ever existed. God knew you, foreknew you, foreloved you, and will love you forever and eternally. The comfort of Christ, the eternal Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And one more title in chapter 22, as I read verse 16, Jesus says, I am. The last of the I am statements, the great I am statements in the Bible. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. This promised Messiah, the child of promise from all ages, was from the line, the lineage of King David. The covenant promise to King David is of your line shall never end. And like the morning star, you know the morning star is the last star that rises from the east. Actually, we believe that it's the bright planet Venus rising just before the sunrise from the east, just before dawn. Not the Bethlehem star, but yet it reminds us of that, for Jesus is the light of the world. As we look back and we think of all the Christmas lights around us, we think of Jesus, that light of the world, the bright and morning star. In Malachi chapter 3, we sing, Hark the herald angels sing, right? Glory to the newborn king, hail the son of righteousness. Malachi chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 2, risen with healing in his wings, this light of the world. He is our comfort, our consolation, bringing light into our lives. And his appearance on a white horse riding, on a snow-white steed. A white horse is a symbol of victory, a conquering leader, in contrast to his first coming, riding and entering the city of Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, riding humbly as a donkey, the foal of a donkey, into the city. Now he's riding into the city, the new Jerusalem, riding in victory, victorious on a snow-white steed. These symbols of judgment in his appearance, eyes like blazing fire, eyes of omniscience, can see all things, can see through all the deceit and injustice of this world. On his head are many crowns. He is crowned with many crowns. Ruler of all, having conquered all kingdoms and all thrones, having conquered the world and the flesh and the devil at his second coming. Praise God. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, having trampled out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, the word of God, which will strike down the nations. His word is like a double-edged sword, able to pierce between the bone and the marrow. Jesus coming again will make all things right, restore all justice where there is injustice. This person is revealed here and is our comfort. And he comes with promises, the promises of this one coming again revealed in Revelation. The blessings for coming to Christ, there are blessings or beatitudes all through the book of Revelation. Here in verse 7, again, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. There are actually seven blessings throughout the book of Revelation. Beatitudes, like Jesus' beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. Here we have the anticipation of God's gifts and blessings. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. The second beatitude is in Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them. Revelation 16:15, the third beatitude, blessed is the one who stays awake. I love saying that in the middle of a sermon. Blessed are they who stay awake, at least sober and aware and awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. The fourth beatitude, Revelation 19:9, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper and to the Lamb. Remember that one. Number five, Revelation 20:6, blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Sixth blessing, Revelation 22:7, blessed is the one who keeps the words, the prophecy in this book. And the last blessing, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. They may enter the city by its gates. Paradise was lost in the garden in the beginning. In the first pages of the Bible, paradise is regained. The curse of sin is reversed by this one, so that now those who were washed in the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of the one who is worthy, now can come in to the city, the new Jerusalem, to eat from the tree of life. These are the blessings of the one who's coming, and his reward, the reward for serving Christ. Verse 12 again, behold, I am coming soon, Jesus says, and my reward is with me. A heavenly reward, eternal life, heavenly home to all who believe, so important. So we face the mortality of ourselves and our loved ones. Heavenly reward, a heavenly commendation, an eternal welcome. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. Matthew 25:21. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Heavenly commendation and eternal welcome. And a heavenly invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears. Can you hear? Come, whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take of the free gift of the water of life. Are you thirsty today for the water of life? It is a gift of grace, a free gift. This new year, consider him who says, behold, I make all things new. Put behind you all the sadness and sickness of 2021. With a new hope for a fresh start, a new beginning by God's grace and mercy, we can look forward in faith to this one who gives great hope and everlasting joy in his glory. Look forward. Yes, look back. Remember Jesus. But look forward and anticipate his second coming. Everything that we do, we tend to get lost in our current circumstances and forget that we have this ever-present promise that Christ will come again. These are the end times, I believe. And we can say, Maranatha, O Lord, come, and anticipate the wedding banquet of the Lamb. You've received your personal invitation to this wedding banquet. Have you responded with an RSVP? Yes, Lord, I'm here. I'm coming. I'm coming. The angel said to me, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And if you receive this invitation, and you've just received it, he who testifies to these things say, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. throughout the Bible these hopeful promises of Jesus' second coming, the last Noel, encourage us to be prepared, to make ourselves ready as we put our faith in Christ, invite Him to come and make room in our hearts. And also, all of these words and promises of His second coming are meant to be an encouragement. At the end of each passage in 1 Corinthians 15, the trump of the Lord shall resound, shall sound, and we shall be changed. Encourage one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Those who have fallen asleep will be caught up to meet Him in the air, and then we shall behold Him. Encourage one another with these words. As we look forward to a new year, encourage one another with these hopeful promises and the last Noel. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You would capture our hearts with the truth, the hope of a glorious future, a bright hope in eternity with You. And in these days, we pray that You might come and encourage our hearts, whatever we face, knowing that all of this will pass, that You will make all things new. We thank You and praise You for this refreshing reminder. As we come to Your table, Lord, and we think of the wedding banquet of the Lamb, we come at Your invitation to Your table now. In Jesus' name, amen.